Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome to A Smart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. One of these days, I'm going to say that right, but I'm very fortunate today to not only have a guest whose name I know I won't mess up, because it's kind of my MO, I can't say many words, but someone who's just, I'm kind of a fangirl, and I'm very excited to have Rose Sweet with us today, and we're going to talk about her newest book, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, out now from Tan Books. Rose, welcome, and thank you for making the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, fangirl. That was a very sweet of you to say that.
Yeah. Well, my name, Allison, means truthful. So.
Oh, good. Okay, then I'm just going to take it and thank God for it. There you go.
So I could do nothing but speak the truth. So I'm really.
Well, you know, that's my name, too. It's like a blessing and a curse. It's sweet. I have to live up to that all the time. You have to live up to the truth. I have to be sweet. So we have our work cut out for us, don't we?
I have to say, I did wonder a little bit if it was your family name or if it was your writing name. But it's your family name, correct?
Yeah. And you know what? I always hated, I grew up in the time when women started hyphenating their names and they didn't want to take their husband's names. And I thought, you know, how proud and arrogant. Marriage should bond you and your name should be the same. But then when I got married, I go, honey, your last name is horrible. My last name is awesome. And it's a great writing name. May I please keep it? And he goes, sure, honey. He was fine with it. So here I am. I ended up one of those women that I couldn't stand 30 years ago, you know?
Oh, that's very fine. You know, when I got married, I actually did hyphenate my name. And then over time, I got tired of writing it. So I just dropped my maiden name because it was Perry. It wasn't as exciting as Gingras, even though his family says Gingras.
Oh, but Gingras is like, ooh la la. It's very romantic, isn't it?
Is it not?
I know.
Perfect name for upside down, yeah. Backwards for today's book, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. Now, Rose, I know all about you because I'm a fangirl. But for those who have not yet been blessed to meet you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, Allison, I'm a cradle Catholic and born in the early 50s, and I had a great education, great catechesis, wonderful nuns and priests, such a blessing. And mom and dad sweat to send all nine of their kids to Catholic school. That's where all our money went. And I can't say enough of how thankful I am for that. That laid a great foundation and seeds of truth and everything good in me. But then I came of age in the 60s, and the word, speaking, you know, you had your book upside down. Our whole culture got turned upside down.
Amen.
And I bought into a lot of the lies. I never left the church officially, but it wasn't important to me. And all I wanted was a husband, home, and kids. I grew up on the Disney princesses before they were popular. And, you know, Snow White and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty, I wanted to be them. And I wanted to have a handsome husband and a lot of kids. My mom had nine. I wanted a dozen. And I knew I would be happy. I didn't want a career. I just wanted to have a beautiful home and make dinner and love my husband and teach my kids about Jesus. Mm. So I went off on my own without any guidance or advice trying to figure out how to do that. And I rushed into marriage. I married an alcoholic. He started beating me. 9 months later, I was out of that. I went through a whole series of broken relationships, marriage, divorce, until I finally landed on my face before God. And I go, I guess I'm not smart enough. I guess I'm to blame for all this brokenness and this hurt. Please help me. That's the kind of prayer he loves. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of him beginning to grow me up, possess my heart, show me some of his secrets, and lead me on a path of ongoing conversion. And as I started to heal, and being a choleric who's take charge and has to tell everybody what to do, plus being an older sister, I thought, well, I'm learning a lot about my faith and all the lies of the culture. So I'd like to tell all you guys, you know? So I started writing and speaking, and the doors opened for me. And I surrounded myself with good, faithful Catholic apologists. I knew that what I was doing had to be grounded in truth. Not just my feelings, not just me and Jesus. You know, what does it mean to be Catholic? What does it mean to be the bride of Christ, really and truly? So from my work in helping people heal their relationships, starting out with divorce and step-parenting and moving into broader areas, I realized the answer is the same for all of us. So my talks morphed into an adventure into the interior life, where we all need to go to find the answers for all the hurt and confusion or whatever questions we have. And my talks now are morphing into these books, this series of books called A Catholic Woman's Guide to X, Y, and Z. And I love TAN books, but I hate that they made me call it A Catholic Woman's Guide, because it's good stuff for men too. So I challenge men. Some of the men who are on Facebook have read the book and they love it. So that's what these books are about today. It's a series of four, and the first one came out last year, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness. This is the primer. And then the second one here, as that we're talking about today, is Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance.
And we have two more to look forward to.
Yes, we do, but I'm not going to tell you what they are because I want to keep it a mystery.
I think you should. I would never ask. I've been publishing long enough to just give that little nibble and not expect an answer.
That's exactly.
Exciting.
Exactly. As Catholic girls, we never give it away too fast, too soon. It's chastity for writers. There you go.
It takes some of us longer to learn that than others, but that's another story for another day.
Let's write a book about that.
I think we should, Rose. I think we should. So a few of the things that you said that kind of really struck my heart. First of all, born in the 50s, I want what you eat. I want the air that you breathe, and I want whatever you drink, because I was born in the 60s and you look fantastic.
Thank you. It's, you know what? I think it's good genes that I got from my dad and Bare Minerals. Okay. I switched over from Lancome after many years. So there you go.
I am for real making a note right here in my notes because I'm quite impressed. I'm also a cradle Catholic, and I had like a reversion in my 30s. There was just, and like you, there was so much about my faith that I didn't know, and then kind of landed on my face before God saying, teach me, because I'm broken and I'm hurt. And what I really love about that is that so many women that I've encountered, they really didn't have it figured out, and they really were broken. And I think sometimes the outside looking at the Catholic speaker world thinks we have it all figured out and they'll never attain, you know, the level of faith that leads you to write a book or to go out speaking about it. But I think in St. Paul, who said, whatever you have been comforted in, God will use you to comfort others in. And I think I've seen that with so much of your writing and with what God has done with you. What do you think of that?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I call it the hot fudge sundae theory. Okay, so let me ask you this. Is a hot fudge sundae hot or cold?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, my first answer would be cold. But I mean, there's hot fudge on it. So tell me more about your hot fudge sundae.
Okay, I love that you said that, because we by our temperament and our nature and our experience, we tend to gravitate to one first or the other. But the reality is it's both at the same time. Two seemingly opposing things that coexist. And that's how we are as human persons. We desire God, and we also desire to have our own way. Oh, wow. It's not that we're all one or the other. And so, you know, we as Catholic authors and speakers, we do have it all together, and we don't have it all together.
This has been a new thing I learned this year, the both and. I always yes. thought the or not, you know, like it's either yes. this or it's that. But I'm learning, especially about our Catholic faith, I'm so happy that you've kind of put it into a way that I, who thinks this way, this visual way, that was just a big aha moment for me. So this interview is over because I've learned something and we're done.
I know. You know what? It's really worth pondering just that reality that should give us hope that we are fallen and redeemed at the same time. And, you know, so we do have a lot of things figured out, but we still have a lot to go. Just like you mentioned St. Paul. I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do.
Romans 7, that's my favorite.
I know. So here we are.
Some people find Paul very confusing. I have ADHD, so I get the man 100%. I love him. I'm like, I totally know what he means.
We all have our favorites, don't we? And that's beautiful. That's part of the diversity of our church and of humanity, that we can find somebody that we can relate to.
Yes.
But the problem is we shouldn't then turn off to those who are different, because we need the complementarity of the other side. The hot fudge needs the vanilla ice cream, and the vanilla ice cream needs the hot fudge.
What a very good point. I feel like the thing that really inspired me to keep learning my faith was discovering what I call the saint posse, seeing that I'm not alone, that there's all of these witnesses, like the cloud of witnesses that we can turn to. And there truly is a saint for everything and for every situation. And God, he made us so diverse. Why would he not make our faith so diverse to find always somebody we connect with? Like, we're trying to explain the unfathomable God. And so if we're all made in his likeness and image, imagine how deep and wide and amazing our God is.
We can't.
No.
We can a little bit, but never fully, never fully. No, yeah. It's great. No, that's what I love about being Catholic. There's room for everybody in one central set of truth, but freedom to be different in other areas.
Amen. Yeah. If I can figure out God, then we're in trouble. We're in serious trouble if I can figure him out. So I wanted to obviously talk today about A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. So tell me a little bit about this. Do I have to be in a relationship or even care about romance to read your sweet little book?
No, because here's the thing. We all start out desiring romance and being attracted to it. But those of us who got hurt along the way or used or chewed up and spit out, we want nothing to do with it. Been there, done that. You know, that's for the young girls. They don't know. They're going to learn the hard way. You know, there's a lot of bitterness out there, and understandably. Romance was my God, you know, starting with watching. There's nothing wrong with Disney princesses. There's nothing wrong with fairy tales. But if we stay stuck there, we miss where they point. We miss where they lead. And they lead us to the eternal romance, where God has revealed himself to his people in the Old Testament as husband. And we, his people, are his bride. What do husbands and brides do? They come together and they love and they fight and they make up and they love again. So this is an image of our spiritual journey. Jesus is the bridegroom. What does that mean? And this is what I had to discover, is I had to get my focus and grasping off of earthly romance, not to reject it, but to let it open up the door to enter into deeper truths about what romance really means and what my heart really longs for. And every one of us is made to enter into a divine, eternal romance with God himself.
I love that. Divine eternal romance with God himself. Like that. I want a t-shirt. I'm in a divine eternal relationship with Jesus.
Well, I know, but and then here's the other thing. Those of us who have been hurt and we turn to God and we find comfort in him, it's just, okay, Jesus is my husband and now it's just me and Jesus. And that's a disorder of our faith as well. We are not alone. It's not just me and Jesus. It's everybody he loves. It's the whole church. It's all of us together. And that's the beautiful thing about Catholics. Here's that both and again. There is a me and Jesus dimension. But that's not the other one is everybody in Jesus and me and everybody. So, you know, we tend to pick the side we want and we stay there. But romance is awesome. But here's the thing, and I know you know this. Starts out with flowers and champagne and candy and all that good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it takes us to the cross. Because true, intimate union with Christ is never more profound and real than it is when we're on the cross with him. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that. Many days, I don't want that. In my head, I do. The rest of me, no. So that's what this book, I try to start out with, let's talk about what romance is and all the things that's good, true, and beautiful in the world and what stirs our hearts. But let's go deeper. Let's go deep into the interior life and see some of the other mysteries. That's what's in that book.
And it is a good one. Okay, we're talking with Rose Sweet today, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, out from Tan Books. We talked a lot about it on Monday on A Seeking Heart, part one of talking about A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. But I stopped when we got to the seven stages of romance, because I really wanted to hear that from you and learn more about it in your, not only in your own words, but in your own voice. Tell me about the seven stages of romance.
Okay. I went to bed one night after praying, Lord, why am I so addicted to romance? You know, and he speaks to me in my sleep because that's the only time he can get through to me. You know, if you ever feel that way.
It's the only time I shut up. So, yeah,
I know. So I woke up with these seven words running through my head and I got up and wrote them down. As writers, we know we need to be obedient to that. And the next morning I was like, whoa, this is how romance is supposed to progress. And I realized I got stuck in a lot of my romances and I was afraid to go there. And I really started meditating about these seven stages and I realized that they are the seven stages of our own interior life with Christ.
Wow.
And that some of us stay stuck dating God, but we never go all the way into the bridal chamber with him because we got it. That changes everything. Changes everything. And it's scary.
I remember a priest telling my husband and I have been dating since we were 16 and 18. We got married, we were 21 and 23. I had lots of boyfriends before him. So I really consider him quite a gift because I wasn't very good. I too was in love with love and I wasn't always making good choices. And I remember a priest telling my husband, because I was about his second or third girlfriend, once you go all the way, you can't go back because it changes.
Yes.
Seeing it in this light is like another aha moment. It does. It changes. You can never go back. And in that way, he was warning us because he wanted, we were really young. He wanted to, you know, inspire us to wait to be married and all those wonderful things. But in this case, it's a beautiful thing that, you know, we want to get to that point where we go all the way with God because we want to be changed and we don't want to go back to where we were.
Right. But a lot of us who got married, you know, this is all of us who get married. We don't really know what's coming down the pike. And we say for better or worse, richer or poor, you know, but then when the worse and the poor comes, we're like, you know, so and the same in our spiritual life, you know, Jesus wooed me and I was on this spiritual high and I was going to all these Catholic conferences and reading all these books and my prayer life was blooming and everything and all of a sudden it changed and I he was maturing me. I was carrying a lot of crosses and bleeding and sweating and hating it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, both and knowing this is what I really did want, and leaning on him to help me carry the cross and keep me going. So there it is.
I can still relate to that. My story, just a real quick, I came back to the faith after I was given a book for Christmas and invited to a Bible study. I never opened the Bible. I didn't know Catholics read it. And I just fell in love with Jesus. It was all of those sweet things that God did, the concerts, the women's events, these godly friends. And I was like riding such a wave of high and like, this is fantastic, Lord. Thank you for answering every prayer. And then my four best friends, the ones who had started the group with me, kind of sat me down and said, we're leaving the Catholic faith. We're becoming evangelicals. We'd love for you to consider to join us. But this is where we feel like we're being fed. And it was like my entire world crushed down around me. And I remember going to him in adoration because I had just recently discovered it when this was all happening. And like, I want you in the Eucharist, but yeah. I don't want to be alone. And I know you're supposed to be enough, God, but I don't want to be alone. Mm. And I remember that emptiness and continuing. But what was different about that experience, because I had had all of those little sweet nothings and everythings, I should say, leading up to that moment, before the old Allison would have been like, I'm done with you. You hurt me, God. You've taken away what I wanted. I'm done with you. But in this case, something had triggered, something had changed. And I'm like, I want more of you, because if you're enough, then apparently we need to get to know each other better. And I sought him instead of turning away from him. And that was a very new life for me. And one that led me here. And I think that happens in marriage too. I mean, I was married very young and my husband and I hit that point, you know, where I was like, are you really, that's it? That's all I get? I better really like you. And if my husband just became a deacon and they said to him, you know, take care of your wife. This is the only one you get. And I know during his 5 years of discernment, he's looked at me a couple of times and gone, am I really okay with this being it?
This is so good, because this is so true. You've hit the nail on the head. We know, even though we don't feel like it's enough, we know that it's enough. And your knowing that Jesus is enough kept you saying, okay, give me more then. I don't want, this is boring, or I hate this, or this is not enough. So I want more. Mm-hmm. And when we're at that place of desire and we pray that way, we'll get it.
And we do in spades. And like Job, it took a while. But when I look now at my life from where it was 10 years ago when this all happened, God has sent me friends tenfold. And he has sent me friends that helped me grow in my Catholic faith where I desired to be. You know, I tried to go to their event, their services, and they were beautiful. I loved the music. I absolutely loved the preaching and all the scripture. But I tease that I missed my Catholic calisthenics. My stand, sit, kneel is like the only exercise I get all week.
Yeah.
But I really wanted, you know, I really wanted the Eucharist. I really wanted that relationship with Christ. So how does my relationship with God, with Jesus as the bridegroom, what does that look like in my everyday life? How do I know I'm there or I'm even close to living that?
Well, that's the beautiful thing that we're talking about our experiences in earthly marriage and earthly romance and relationships. And we can draw on those rhythms and those realities to teach us something about the spiritual union with Christ. It is going to be at first, interesting and exciting, and then wonderful, and then dry, and then wonderful again. And it's just like a relationship. Mm. You know, because your girlfriends, they were like with Jesus while he was giving them flowers and candy and everything. But then when it got dry and boring and he was away at the office and they were home bored, they wanted to go somewhere else. And they found another man, and he had nice perfume, and he took them to fancy restaurants.
Wow.
And their music was better. And they were getting fed because otherwise they'd be home eating spaghetti. So you know what? I want to be home eating spaghetti with the man who adores me and who died for me. I don't want to be out there eating steak with the counterfeit love. And they based, people like that, and I was one too at one time, are you make your decisions on your lower desires. We want the rings, the candy, the flowers of romance and marriage. We don't want the long haul of stripping away what doesn't matter and really discovering each other and really bonding to where now we have this deep, solid faith that we know no matter what happens, we're not alone. He's got our back and he loves us more than we can even imagine.
Amen. Wow.
I know.
I'm going to be just meditating on all of this. Like, I feel a blog post coming. I do love how God is so generous. He's like, you know, we're going to have you talk about Rose and help tan books to let them know about this book. But really, this is all about me and my healing and what God, you know, he's just never outdone in his generosity.
That happens to me all the time. I go, okay, that person needs me. I want to be watching Netflix, but I'm going to go walk to help that person or whatever, you know. And then I see all these wonderful blessings for me. And you're right. That's who he is.
And, you know, and that is also an amazing example of a strong bond of a romantic love. Like, I have hand eczema, so I can no longer do dishes. I know. Isn't that horrible? And my husband, you know, he would rather be doing anything else but helping me do the dishes. But that love, that sacrificial love that says, even though there's other things I would rather be doing, my love for you, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give of my time for you and be there for you and doing even the things we don't always want to do. So even that image itself really brings to mind how loving God is. And of course, that example for us to be loving.
Okay, Allison, I'm glad that you brought up your hand leprosy. You saw that I put that story in my book on romance that you shared with me. Do you remember that?
I don't. And did I not recognize it as I read it?
You went up to a conference and there was this handsome young priest or whatever, and he stuck his hand out to shake your hand. And all of a sudden you were consumed with shame and embarrassment because your hands were all, like, you know, horrible. And you stuck your hand out. He took your hand.
And he kissed it.
Oh, that's romance. Because here's the thing. God sees past all our makeup and all our jewelry and all our whatever. And he sees the real us and he loves us to the death. That's the kind of love I want. Oh, the guy who buys me the steak dinner, that's fine. But I don't want that, really. I want the guy who sees me with no makeup and goes, you're beautiful. No, I'm not, honey. And those pants don't make you look fat either. I know you're lying. Yeah. No, you know, I love this in Theology of the Body, how I learned that the deepest desire is to be seen and loved regardless of any imperfections. And that's heaven, the beatific vision. We will be in his eternal loving gaze. And that's romantic.
That is romantic. You know, and it's so funny you talk about it that way, because I always tease, and I do mean this. Like, when I think of heaven, I do picture myself in a princess gown, because if he's the king, I'm a princess with my tiara and my beautiful ball gown. I don't care what size it is. I just want a ball gown. And I don't care how fancy my tiara is. I just want to be his princess. Because I think, you know, that romantic knowledge of the Disney princesses is not bad. It's, you know, we've distorted it, but right, there is definitely some beauty to being protected and loved by the king, to be under his regime, but in a way that means you are safe and loved. I don't think there's anything wrong with that image at all.
No, it's the story of our salvation, because in those stories, the handsome prince always saves her from some evil, the evil stepmother or the dragon or whatever. And that's representation of sin and evil in the world. I wish we could do part two that shows the rest of the story, which is once we are on the throne with him in the kingdom, he then has us go out in the middle of the night with him and help the kingdom and fight the enemies. And he wants us to, that's going to the cross with him. We're not supposed to sit on that throne forever. We're supposed to go out into the kingdom. We call it the vineyard because that's safer, but he wants us to go out to the battlefield with him.
Yes.
And help fight, to continue the fight against evil. And that's what you and I are both doing when we are going deeper in our own faith and then sharing it with our brothers and sisters. We're saying, come on, let me help you fight this battle, because we are in a battle. And we have a king who is leading us in that battle.
Amen. And we both have a connection with Kelly Walquist, who has the founder of WIE, Women in the New Evangelization, for which I am so blessed to work for her. I'm her WIE Stewart, which is just such a cute title, but it's actually a very powerful title. And it's how I am so blessed to serve. But, you know, we're talking about the vineyard. But that really is, and something we've talked about in WIE, is that it is a battlefield, and we want to empower women with, you know, the armor of God to fight the battle that, you know, sometimes this world can really be overwhelming inside ourselves, outside of ourselves, to be, you know, empowered in the vineyard, by just our loving God, the vine dresser. But it's just, I'm an analogy girl. So I love that image of, you know, it is a battlefield.
Me too. And I live here in the Coachella Valley in Southern California, and we're surrounded with a whole bunch of table grape vineyards. And I've been out there, and they look beautiful from the outside, but there's pests that are just trying to eat away at the roots, and there's pests that are eating the leaves, and pests that are trying to eat the grapes, and bad weather coming. I mean, the whole vineyard analogy, and I'm an analogy girl too. Well, that's this whole book. This is an analogy romance.
That's why I love it so much.
Those are the truths that lead us to the love for which we were made.
Amen. Well, I could literally talk to you all day long.
I know, me too. You have a book to write.
I do. And my deadline is Monday. So but now I have all this stuff to, like, all right, Lord, is it for this book? Is it for the next book? My brain's just going a mile a minute. But we have been talking about this incredible book, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, which we also say could also be a Catholic man's guide to romance, made for both sexes, made for people in love, out of love, because it's really about God's romance with us and his call to be his beloved. Rose, this was lovely. Where can we get it? And where can we continue to follow along with you? Because we want to know when the other two come out.
Well, you can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/RoseSweetTalk is my URL there. And then my website is rosesweet.com. And you can go to the store and get the book, or you can go directly to Tan Books and order the books there. So I just thank you. I love everything that you're doing. We haven't yet met in person, but I can't wait for the day, because I know we're going to be drinking and talking the whole time.
Amen. I'm going to completely just, you know, stalk you and keep you captive. I'll just keep giving you wine and asking you millions of questions.
It'd be fun.
I really do. I really love your spirituality, but in the way that it's so relatable. And I think that is so important for women to know that there are other women like them who've been in the struggle, who are continuing in the struggle, but yet they have these moments where God just enlightens them, and therefore you enlighten us. So thank you for sharing your heart and your gifts with us.
Thanks, Allison. Same to you.
Oh, praise God. And thank you so much for joining us here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford, find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.